Welcome to Centre Church. We hope you enjoyed this message, recorded live from our Burgess Hill campus.
I don't know about you, who was here last week? Hands. Quite a few folks. Those that weren't, you really need to get onto the website or the podcast or whatever means it is you listen to or listen back to the services here. Do you know, Tom and the guys do a great job of doing the recording. People on the sound desk do a great job of doing the recording, doing the video work, putting it up on the websites, and it's there for us to go back to and gain from. We don't just have to take it today, we can take it tomorrow, the next day, when we're traveling to work, when we're just doing the washing up, whatever it is we might be doing, we can go back and hear the word again. And I really recommend going back and listening to Lisa's message last week. It was a strong message, and honestly, there's no way I'm going to bring something quite like that this week, because that was a word for the season and a word for that specific time, wasn't it? Would you say? I mean, I think so anyway. I really think it was. However, there were some things in there that really sparked my thought, wow, yeah, I want to pick up on that. And I do, I want to pick up on this idea of the heart. And we looked at, it was Ezekiel, you don't need to turn there, but it was Ezekiel 36, 26 and 28, she preached on last week. And it was about God would put a new heart. He would take the heart of stone and give a new heart of flesh. He would put his spirit within, in this case, the people of Israel, but we know that happens for us as well. And that would be that giving us a new heart and giving us the Holy Spirit would enable us to turn ourselves to love God more and to be able to fulfill his commands and his laws. And that's what God wanted all along, isn't it? You know, love the Lord your God. It's all about love. It's about our response to him in love, and that can only come about by a change of our hearts. Would you agree? Okay, good. And so what I also then sparked off and what it made me think was, you know, in Luke 17, Jesus is asked, and why is there a comparison? There's a comparison because Jesus, or rather in Ezekiel, God was speaking to the prophet and was saying, actually, all those things that you're trying to do to fulfill the law, all the day-to-day things, the routine, the regulations, talk to me about regulations, that's what I do in my job, I know about regulations, there's loads of them. The regulations we think we need to follow, the habits we think we need to have every day, the things we need to do to please God, when Jesus came, the Jews had got it down to a fine art. There were no longer just 10 commandments, there was a whole series of extra commandments that have been added to that, or clarifications, we might say. And we see that today in our legislation. I don't want to get into that, but my world is becoming a nightmare because we've got the law and we've got the standards and we've got the guidance documents. And by the time we get to the end, we don't know what the beginning is. And Jesus, when he's asked by the Pharisees, comes right back to it. And when he's asked, what is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? How will we see it? And he says, not by you doing those things, not by you trying to fulfill the law, not by you doing all the regulations, are you going to see the kingdom. Why? Because the kingdom of God is inside you. It's inside us. It's in our hearts. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God in our hearts and our lives. The kingdom of God is in our hearts. So for the kingdom of God to grow in our hearts, the seed of the kingdom needs to be planted there. And so this morning, I want to get to the heart of the matter and ask you a really straightforward question. Is your heart full of good soil? Can you guess where I'm going? Can you guess which passage I'm going to? Some can, but aren't willing to say, just in case. Okay, we're going to go to Matthew 13, which is the parable of the sower, as we think about it. It might be thought of as the parable of the sower. Some might call it the parable of the seed. In some ways, some people talk about it that way. But actually, I'm today thinking of it more as the parable of the soils. Because actually, it's all about where the seed lands that's important, not so much the sower. The sower actually was not particularly good. He didn't necessarily find the right soil. But we need to create the right soil in our lives. Now, I'm not meaning just the first time. The first time we come to God, the first time that God's word comes into our hearts and germinates and brings forth life, when we make that decision to follow Jesus, there's that first time and we need our hearts to have right soil then. But then time and again throughout life, we need to have the right soil in our hearts that the word of God can be planted there and grow and flourish and produce fruit. And I don't know about you, but maybe it's just an age thing, but I'm getting to spend more and more time in my garden, or in our garden, and as I'm doing that, I'm realizing there's so much more to do. Because it doesn't just grow. There's a it's a bit of a cliche one, but I'll share it anyway. There's a story of a vicar who would always go past a particular garden on his rounds in the morning. He'd like to go from his church back to his vicarage, and he'd have a little walk around the village. And as he walked around the village, he always passed this amazing garden. The garden flourished no matter what the season was. There were flowers in the garden. And the one day he went past them, and the owner was there. He was digging his garden and he was working on it. And the vicar stopped and said, "Sir, I just love your garden. Isn't the beauty of creation amazing? Just what God does and brings, the flowers that he brings to bear, and just how beautiful God's creation is." And the gardener said, "Yes, it's true, but you should have seen it when it was left to him." There's something we have to do in our garden to bring the best out of it. There's something we have to do with God's word to bring the best out of it. We have to co-create or co-work with God. So there's something we have to do there. Anyway, that's an add-on. It's not where we're going to go. We're going to read from Matthew 13, 1 to 9. In this particular passage, Jesus leaves his house. 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed." Something that maybe he was sat there, and as he was sat there, maybe you could see on the hill there was actually somebody sowing seed. And perhaps that was the illustration that suddenly caught his attention. I don't know. I think perhaps he'd thought about it a bit more than that, but that's what some have considered. It was an everyday thing in their culture. It's not something we see these days, is it? We don't see a farmer walking along throwing his seed out. How many of us actually see farmers planting anything? How many of us see farmers? Because we're in more of an urban society these days. But it was something that was quite common to see, this planting of the seed, the sowing of the seed. And as the farmer was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus spoke to the crowds in a parable. He gave them this story, if you like, of a sower who'd gone out and sown seed. And the sower, the picture, I'm sure you've perhaps seen a picture of it, the sower would have a bag strapped over him, and the seed would be here, and it'd be throwing the seed out as he walked along into his ploughed field. Some of it would go into the right places and some of it wouldn't. It would go into other places. Can you get that picture? Yeah? Okay. And so he shared this message shared this story with the whole crowd. And the whole crowd, maybe some of them got it and maybe some of them didn't. But certainly the disciples hadn't quite got it. The disciples didn't quite get it. Now, if the disciples didn't get it, I doubt if the crowd got it. And sometimes I wonder if you're like me, and even though we've been Christians many years, we don't quite get the word of God. We don't quite receive it in the way that it's given to us. We don't understand it and allow it to do its work in our lives. Maybe it's just me. But I know sometimes I read the scripture and go, "Really? What? What does that mean? What does it mean for me?" Well, Let he who has ears, let him hear, Jesus said. And the disciples asked, well, and it's not on the screen, this one, I don't think. The disciples asked, Jesus, why do you keep talking in these stories? Why do you keep telling parables? And Jesus explained it to them and made a reference back to the Old Testament. But the bit I want to mention is this bit. Jesus replied to his disciples, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. Jesus gave his disciples the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Wow, that's quite a big thing. The kingdom of heaven, how the kingdom should operate, the secrets of it. And so then we move on to the explanation. He kindly explained the parable to his disciples. And folks, I'm going to be relatively short and simple today because I think really that's what we need sometimes. And so hopefully I won't waffle on too much. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. They've been given to you. They've been given to me. How do we get that? We get that by gaining revelation from Jesus. We get that by the Holy Spirit who lives within and works within us. Jesus wants to plant the seed of the Word of God into your life and into my life daily, every moment, not just once in a while, but all of the time. Why? Because he wants us to be able to reap a harvest continuously. There's a number of Old Testament promises where it says that you will be able to continuously reap. You will find that the promises that God gives to the Israelites in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, where it says, if you listen to my voice, if you follow my commands, if you diligently hear me and you do, then these things will happen. And what things will happen? There will be a harvest that continues. There will be, it says, the wheat will be harvested and that will continue until the grape harvest. It says elsewhere that your barns will be so full, you will still be, you'll come to be emptying them by the time you're reaping the next harvest because they are so overflowing with blessing. We can have those blessings if we allow the seed of the Word of God to take root in our hearts. But the question is, what's the condition of the soil in your heart? That's our question this morning. So the next slide, please. There we go. Thank you. The path and the stony ground. The path and the stony ground. Listen then, Jesus said, to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, the word of God comes to them and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So, I don't know about you, but I know that there was a time in my life when I had a heart that was like a well-trodden path. It was really packed down, it was full of rocks and stones, and it wasn't something that anybody could get into, couldn't break into. I was commenting to Ruth a couple of weeks ago, it's amazing to think that we today, so paths and roads, it's amazing to think that we today still follow the same paths and roads as the Romans did so many years ago when they came to this land and they built the roads. They built roads that would last. And you and I, as we're growing up and as we're developing and as we're learning about life in this society and in the world out there, we are growing or building paths in our lives. We are having paths and roads built into our lives that take us in directions that we shouldn't be going, not godly directions. They build up thinking in our heads that changes us and causes us to have a way of thinking that turns us away from the scripture. We start expecting that life will exist and go on without God rather than accepting that God is someone who we should trust and should go after. We start accepting what the world tells us about science and about creation and about the beginnings of life and the importance of life or the non-importance of life. And we start believing those things. And then we build up a hardness of heart. It becomes a road that we keep going down, even when we hear the Word of God. And the Word of God doesn't sink into our hearts and gain root. But the good news from last week was that he will give us a new heart. And if we're open to the Holy Spirit, if we're willing to hear the revelation that comes, the Holy Spirit will reveal to us these things. And it's a little bit like, and I'm switching my analogy now, but it's a little bit like when you get a seed. A seed can be stored away for years and years and years. But if you get the seed and you pop it into a little bit of water for 24 hours, and then you pop it into some soil, it's amazing that it starts growing because that outer hardness has been broken down by the water, which in our sense is the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The Holy Spirit breaks down our heart if we allow him. So the first one was the path. The path was a problem. The path was a problem, or the road was a problem, because the seed could not break into the soil itself. The outer hardness was there and couldn't break into the soil itself. But then, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word, or the woman who hears the word, and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Quickly fall away. Stony ground. I don't know if you have stony ground. We have really stony ground in our house, or around our house, in the gardens and so on. Our home was built as one of those, the new developments, as it was about 35 years ago, one of the newer developments in Burgessell. And as they built our homes, there's six of them together. They built them as show homes. They built them quickly. And guess what they did with all the rubble? They threw it into the garden. So we have lots of stones in our garden. And so when we first moved there, we very pretentiously, as young people, decided we'd give our house a name. It's crazy, really, when you think about it, but there we are. And we gave the house the name of Stony Croft, because there was lots of stones, and we knew that if we wanted to grow anything there, it was going to take some hard work. Stony Croft. And we still get one or two people who still write to us at Stony Croft, although the name has long since gone out of our thinking. But I was reminded of it not too long ago when I was actually starting to dig into the garden to plant an apple tree. I wanted an apple tree for years. We've had apple trees at home when I was growing up. I loved apple trees. I wanted an apple tree. I wanted to be able to grow my own fruit. I started digging. I got up the turf, and I moved the topsoil, doing well, and then I hit something. What's that? It was 2 inches of stones. So, okay, I worked through that, got all those stones out, and then I hit something else. And it was a layer of membrane. Okay, cut through the membrane, and then it's solid clay. So, okay, great. So I stopped there and called the man who can and got them to come and sort it out for me. I did say to Ben earlier, there's a reason why I'm a chemist and not an engineer. There's certain things I'm not good at, and you need to know when you're not good at those things. There is a point to this story. The point to this story is, sometimes in our lives, there are stones and layers within that we don't realize are there, in our hearts. There's stones that are there, there's layers within. We think that because we've come to Jesus, because we've come to that point where we've believed, believed on the salvation that comes from the shedding of blood and from the body that was given for us, we come to that belief and we make that transition from death to life. And it's an amazing transition, and it does change everything, because we have eternal life. And it does mean we go from death to life. And we do have all of the potential benefits within us, just like the seed. But day by day by day, we have to work those out. And day by day by day, the rock might be being broken down, but there's still little bits of it being left in our hearts and in our lives. What do I mean? Well, it might be something that a teacher said to you at one time at school. It might be something that your family have said to you. It might be something that you've believed in your growing up and in your development or in your workplace. There might be many different things. Illustrations, okay. From me, not from other people. Illustration from me. I remember one thing. Growing up at school, at infant school, I did quite well at infant school. And we were in a council estate and a group of different folks. We didn't have any books or anything like that at home, so I was voracious for books at school, loved to have a book, loved to have a read. And I wasn't very fast at reading. I wasn't very quick at doing things. And the headmistress said to my mom, "Robin's doing well. He's a plodder. He'll get there in the end. He's a plodder. He'll get there in the end." Do you know how many times my mom quoted that over me? "He's a plodder. He'll get there in the end." I tell you what, I've thrown that one off. And most times people say to me, "Robin, can you speak more slowly, please?" Because I tend to want to get there very fast these days. But, you know, those sort of things can get spoken into your life and they can have an impact. And it did have an impact. You start saying them to yourself. And I started saying it to myself. "Yes, I'll get there. It'll take time. Yeah, I'll get there." But God can break through in those situations and turn those things around and make them good. We have to recognize that they're there in our lives. Or maybe, you know, 13, can you imagine this at 13? You're just a teenager. You've, as a family, nursed dad at home for 4 months whilst he was end of life, passes away. And on the day of his funeral, someone comes to you and speaks to you as the 13-year-old son of the home and says, "You're the man in the house now, son. You've got to look after things." Goodness me, what a weight to put on a young kid's shoulders. Sometimes we need to think what we say to people. Anyway, that's a by the by. But that's the sort of thing that really can significantly impact you. It impacted me for years because I felt I had to provide. I felt I had to do things. I had a duty. I must do. We sometimes, all of us, have rocks still in our hearts that we need to allow God to move out to one side. So that, why? So that it creates space for the word to go in there. And for me now to say, I am a child of God. I know who I am. I know who I believe. I know that I have his authority living in me and through me. We can replace those rocks with the word of God, but we need to get them out first. And the way we can get them out, the only way we can get them out is by recognizing they're there in the first place. So be honest with yourself. What rocks do you have in the soil in your heart? We don't have a timer today. I'm doing well because I'm just going to keep going. So if somebody needs to tell me to stop when we're finished. The next one. The next slide, please. The next one. Now, this one is something that I know that all of us can really, really understand and get our heads around. There we go. It's a bit small, but hopefully you can read that. Okay, it says slightly differently. "The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful." Wow. Wow. None of us here today got any worries, eh? None of us have any concerns that the media might be throwing at us about all the time. You know, they're not reminding us all the time of the different fears that we should have, are they? No, they are all the time. We've got so much that comes in, so much that takes up space. Do you know, again, illustration. A drive is wonderful. It looks lovely, but it's made up of little blocks. Guess what happens in between the little blocks? Lots of weeds keep popping up and we have to keep dealing with them. One of the things that we've noticed is that weeds occupy empty space. Weeds occupy empty space. The worries that come against you, the problems that you have, will occupy, I'm not saying you've all got empty heads, but will occupy space in your head if you allow it. What are we supposed to do? The scripture says that we're to take every thought captive and submit it to the word of God. So when those worries start coming, don't just ignore them because they're a reality and we all know that we need to accept the reality. But what we need to do is we need to be sure that we don't just stay there. We don't accept the finality of the reality that we're experiencing. We know there's a greater reality that comes from the word of God applied in our lives by faith and with patience. Ooh, patience, Robin, really? Patience. Yep, that's the one that I'm worst at because I'm no longer a plodder. And so now I find patience quite hard. Swings and roundabouts. But weeds occupy territory that's vacant. So my question to you is, are you allowing the weeds to take territory in your life? Are you allowing worries, cares, concerns, problems with relationships, with work situations, with learning, with school, whatever it is you're doing, are you allowing those worries, the worries of money and finance, come on, that's one of the biggest ones that many of us have, are you allowing that to take over in your mind and in your day-to-day and actually in your heart, causing your heart not to receive the word of God, which clearly says that he is Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Yireh, the one who provides for all of our needs. The one who is faithful. We need to cause those weeds to go. Now, one of the ways that I tried dealing with these weeds in our drive, all sorts of different ways. I'm trying to be eco-friendly. I'm trying to do all the eco things that you're supposed to do. I've scratched them out, but they've still come back. I've got down on my hands and knees. I've done all sorts of things. One of the things I've tried is to burn them out. You seen those burners? I've tried to burn them out. And it sort of works. But, you know, one of the things that I do regularly in my own life and most times each day in my devotions or quiet times is I pray a prayer based on Psalm 5, verse 3 in the Passion Translation. So if you haven't got that, and I haven't got it on the screen, so I'm sorry about that, but maybe you go on a phone and you can look it up. But Psalm 5, verse 3 in the Passion Translation, it's talking about going before God and making a sacrifice, talking about him every morning, every sunrise. He hears my sacrifice of prayer. And then the next piece is about asking God to bring fire upon my heart. Woo! Bring fire upon my heart. And to burn up. And I turn that into, Lord, bring fire upon my heart. Burn up all that is there, all those weeds, all those concerns, all those things that I shouldn't be there. And Lord, fill me with the fire of your Holy Spirit that I may have faith enough to do what it is you've called me to do today. It's a great little verse, and I really recommend you take that time. But remember, weeds occupy territory. That's the one thing that you and I are called to do, is to occupy territory. Jesus didn't call us to win any wars. The war is won. He called us to occupy the territory that he's won for us. Start with our own minds. Start with our own hearts. Anyway, the final one, the one that I want to get to, is the good soil. Is that really right? Nearly 12 o'clock? Okay, I definitely will be finished. The good soil. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Wow, it has a huge, huge bonus at the end of it. Once it goes into the ground, we know that a seed has to go into the ground first. But then, wow. So, one final story, and then I'll come to a close. Again, growing up, my mom had cousins who lived in a little village in Yorkshire, and in the middle of the village, they ran a farm. And so, every year, we'd go from Wolverhampton up to Yorkshire and go onto the farm, and it'd be great. You'd go and collect the eggs first thing in the morning, things like that. You'd help with hay making and one thing and another. And back then, Dad had a Morris Minor. You know the Morris Miners? I'm showing my age here. He had a Morris Minor. And it was what was called a Morris Minor Traveller, which was like an estate car. So it was the Morris Minor, but with a van bit at the back of it sort of thing. So totally open at the back of this vehicle. Quite big, but totally open. Well, the one time we went up and visited Uncle Les and Auntie Margaret, and Uncle Les said, Alan, my dad, I've got some good soil for you to take back. And he gave us this good soil, which we put into the back of the car. And I tell you what, on a hot summer's day coming home, that soil stank out our car because it was a little bit more than just soil coming from the farm. And sometimes in life, our hearts get clogged up and get a bit stinky because of some of the manure that happens to us. And we can allow that, two different ways we can work with that. We can allow that to build up and be really stinky and to turn us into bitter people and to make us completely unproductive and not allow the word of God to come into our heart and the seed to grow. Or we can mix it with the right things, of the bits of soil that we might have already in our hearts. We may respond to it in a different way and allow the word of God to come in and to produce fruit. What do I mean? Well, I don't know about you, but I've been through some things in life. I think we all have, probably. We've all been through some manure, we might say. We might say it differently if we weren't in church. We've all been through some things in life. But how we respond to those things is what's important. And if we respond rightly to that, that happens to us with our hearts, because out of the heart life comes. If we respond rightly from our hearts, if we allow the word of God to come in and to change us, if we see the circumstance and difficulty, if we say, when we're faced with a bad report from the doctor, if we say we are standing on the word of God which says that I am healed, then that makes a change to it. If we are faced with a situation where we're, you know, responsible for business, where the numbers don't add up and you've got to talk to people and make them redundant, you want to speak to them in a certain way. So you can either operate out of fear and just say, we need to get rid of you, or you start talking to them and say, how can we help you find the right place for you? It's our response to the situation that's important. It's our response to that manure that comes. And we can either let it get stinky, and some people do, and you probably can think of someone out there that does, not in here, nobody in here, everybody out there. Or we can, and therefore it becomes an unproductive wasteland, honestly. Our hearts become unproductive wastelands, full of dog stuff, rather than manure that will really make a difference in our lives. Or we can turn it into what God wants to use it for. So this morning, just to wrap it up and close, and I'm sorry I've been a bit longer than I expected. Really, what is the condition of your heart? What's the soil in your heart? Is the soil in your heart so packed down, so compressed, so covered by rocks and stones that you are still on the old path that the world gave to you however many years ago, whenever it was you became a Christian? Maybe it was just a few months, maybe it was years ago. Or are you now moving on to the right way and the right path and allowing the Holy Spirit to break that open, start sinking the word into your life? Are you still allowing the rocks and the stones, things that people have said over you, to continue to dictate who you are? Or are you opening that up and allowing the word of God to come in as a seed and to produce fruit in your life? Are you perhaps allowing the weeds of this life that do come along to occupy your thinking and your time and your energies? Or are you turning to the word of God and allow him to transform those situations and circumstances, believing the promises that he's given? Or do you have good soil that you've taken those things that have happened to you in life and turned them into a soft and tender heart that allows for the word to be dropped into it, the seed of the word to be dropped in, to germinate and produce fruit in your life? That is how the kingdom of God comes about in our lives. And as it comes about in our lives, it's shown to others. As it's shown to others, others catch the same thing, and then the kingdom spreads and spreads.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. For any more information or to find out more of what we do as a church, you can contact us at info@centrechurch.uk or check out our website at www.centrechurch.uk.